We're doing Chassidut on Parshat Vayikra, and the topic is Vayikra b'lashon nistar. It says, and he called him, and the terminology is obviously hidden. Vayikra el Moshe, and he called Moshe. Vayidaber Hashem enav, and Hashem spoke to him ol moed lemor, from the ol moed, saying the following, Adam ki akriv mikem korban Hashem, when man from among you brings a sacrifice to Hashem. Ita beBet Avraham, in the work Bet Avraham, it says, "Mehadichtiv Vayikra b'lashon nistar." The Torah begins the parasha with the terminology Vayikra, and he called. It doesn't say who. It's hiding the identity of who is calling. Shemrumaz b'ze al abat kol ayotzet b'chol yom. The Torah is alluding to the heavenly voice that comes out every day. The Zohar writes that there's a heavenly voice that comes out and says, Shuvu vanim shovavim. It's as though Hashem is calling every day and says, come back, my children. I know your nature is to repeat your mistakes in life, and I keep repeating my call to you to return. The term shovavim means those who repeatedly mistake. So Shuvu, the heavenly voice that comes out, says return. Even though you are shovavim, even though I know your nature is to repeat your mistakes, he akriyah shehakadosh baruch hu kore bechol yom lelev yehudi. So the Beit Avraham says the calling. If you want to hear the calling, you know where you can hear it. It's in the heart of every Jew. Every day, every Jew has a calling from within that says, "Return." Uchamamar habal shem tov akadosh. And that's what the holy Baal Shem Tov said on that which our sages said, that every day heavenly voice called out. So the Baal Shem Tov said, wait a second. What's a heavenly voice coming out for? We don't hear it. So if we don't hear it, what's it coming out for? That's what the Baal Shem Tov asked. If Hashem is inviting every Jew to repent, and no Jew hears it, specifically not the sinner, so then what's the point of that heavenly voice? So the Baal Shem Tov said that voice that comes out, as our sages say, comes out from Sinai. And that voice that comes out impacts the heart of every Jew. And even the lowest of the Jews, even the person who's in the dumps all the way down and out, sometimes he also gets aroused. It's like when you have a transistor radio. So you have the radio station, and the waves are going out there. The question is, will you ever have reception? So every so often, you get reception. Every so often, you get the signal. So the voice is going out. And every so often, it resonates with different people. So that voice affects people, even though we don't hear it directly. And if a person is smart enough and he can think into the future, so then he grabs hold when that voice hits him. As the Pasuk says in the Song of Songs, that when the beloved showed up, I grabbed him, I didn't let go, till I brought him into the inner depths of my home, says the Baal Shem Tov, that means till I bring that voice to the depths of my soul. And this voice gives us more strength to arise. So that's the interpretation of Vayikra el Moshe. He called to Moshe in hiding. It's not only Moshe. We know the term Moshe is a reference to every Jew. Hashem calls every Jew. And every Jew in his area of life has a calling from above. Our sages say in Tractate Yuma, Moshe would stand in the holy and the voice would come out. A thunderous voice. Moshe could be standing with the Jewish people and the voice would come out. A thunderous voice. Moshe's standing there and no one else hears. Because different callings are talking to different people. When Hashem's talking to Moshe, only he hears it. But every person in their area of life, they get their calling. So that's the first interpretation the Beit Aharon says. That the hidden voice, Vaikra, is the voice that's coming out to every one of us. That's the first interpretation of the Beit Aharon. Secondly, he says, when you look at Vaikra, the Aleph is a small Aleph. If you would read it without the Aleph, so then you would read it as Vayiker. Coincidentally, it happened. There's a dual meaning here. In life, we encounter things that seem like coincidences. Oh, we're surprised. And yet the Torah begins our parasha by telling us, no. When things seem to be coincidental, so you should know there's a hidden calling there. Hashem's calling you back. From within what's happening in life, Hashem's calling you back. He's calling a person to return. Come back to your roots. Come back to the source. And that's like a king that sends his son far away, and he sends him letters. And every letter is written with allusions and hints about how he should behave, what he should do in that country that he's in. And so too Hashem sends every Jew hints, messages. What's going on around him, Hashem says, I'm here with you and I'm helping you, I'm trying to guide you. Now, before we continue, this is a very dangerous concept, what we just read. Because if people take this too far, then people can go crazy. People can walk away convinced that they know what Hashem's telling them. And many people do. People make tremendous life decisions because they're convinced they know what Hashem told them. Let me tell you a story. There was a guy who couldn't decide whether he should start dating or not. He said, if Hashem wants me to start dating, I'll start dating. So, lo and behold, short while later, his phone rings. Man calls. He says, hi, I've been trying to reach you. He says, really? He says, yeah, I have a girl that I think is just for you. He starts having a conversation with the guy, and he's like a little bit bewildered. What's going on here? I don't know who this person is. And he's trying to be polite, and at the same time trying to understand what's going on in the conversation. And then finally he says, look, I'm sorry, you might have the wrong number. He's wondering whether you should be saying that. He says, I don't know who you are. So the person says, you're so-and-so, and he tells him the last name. And he says, yes. So he says, so I'm trying to reach you. And so the guy says, but how do I know you? So he says, because you learned in this and this yeshiva. And so the guy says, ah, you're trying to reach my brother. When he left Israel, I took his cell phone. So he says, well, how old are you? He tells him how old he is. He says, okay, then the girl's right for you too. Your brother's no longer in the country. The girl's right for you. So the guy says, you know what, I'll think about it. But the guy says to himself, wait a second. I was just saying, Rabboni Shalom, if I'm supposed to get married, then I don't know if I should start dating yet or not. Send me a girl. And here, very short while later, the phone rings, and there's this coincidence where the guy thinks he's reaching my brother, and he sets me up with this girl. He happens to be a Dayan who called him up, a judge in a Jewish court. He's deliberating back and forth. He decides he won't marry her based on this, but he'll date her based on this. He dates her date 1, 2, 3, and certain things don't seem, doesn't seem right to him. But he's new to all this. He asks people, and people don't know. Keep going. So he keeps going. Until he reaches like day 20, and he says to himself, either make it or break it, and the answer is break it. This isn't going to make it. And he breaks up with her. And then he asks himself, wait a second, should I have gone out with her? Because what was the main reason I went out? Because I had just asked. And now imagine he would have married her. Imagine. I'm telling you a true story with all the facts. I just kept the names of the parties hidden to protect the individuals involved. But this is a true story. Now, I've seen people reach the point of engagement based on stories like this. They were sure there was a sign. Now, do you think the guy's off the wall? He did just ask the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the phone did just ring. And how many times do such coincidences, it didn't never happen before, never happened again. Right? So what does that mean? I don't know what it means. I don't know how Hashem runs this world. One of the rules we have to know is that we can use what he just said, but we have to be very careful. We don't really understand what Hashem is doing. We can try to see Hashem in our lives, and yet we have to be cautious and recognize that we don't really know how to interpret what we're seeing. We don't know. We don't know when the sign means, yes, I should do that, and when the sign means something else. We're not sure. When you have a prophet, you can understand. Is there a sign that's more clear than that? And yet, it was very clear to him by the time they reached day 20 or something that this is not the right girl for me. Everyone who was counseling him kept telling him, keep going, it looks good. And he kept saying, this bothers me and that seems not right. And I don't think we match on this point. And all the people who were advising him kept saying, no, that's not so serious. Don't take that so badly. And until finally he said, I'm sorry, you guys can marry her. I'm not going to. You know, but I know people who didn't say that. Plenty of people who thought they saw signs and made life's decisions based on them. I had a friend who bought stocks that way. So initially he made money. He was very happy. There is a God in heaven. But what happens when he loses money? Now there's no God in heaven. We don't know how Hashem runs the world. And we don't know how to interpret these signs. And when people take what he said here and they apply it and they're very serious about it, they can make the worst mistakes of their life. So even though, yes, in life we should look out for how Hashem is giving us meta messages, and there are things in our life where it's comforting to see there that Hashem is there for us and that things seem to be pointing in the right direction, it certainly placates us. But we have to remember that we don't always know how to interpret it. When Jonah was making the wrong move of his life, he paid for it with his life. When Jonah was running away from giving his prophecy, so Hashem made a miracle. The ship that he had to escape on was 3 days' journey out at sea, and suddenly, miraculously, it was blown back to the port. So what does Jonah think? Wow, must be I'm supposed to board that ship. Must be Hashem really agrees with my move. He did not make the decision based on the sign. But Chazal were careful to tell us that there was a sign. So we have to be very careful. We cannot make decisions based on signs. We have to be very careful with this idea that he told us. People lose everything based on this. They lose their religion. Because for a time, they're sure that everything's going right. And they understand what Hashem's telling them. But then when something's going wrong and their system does not work, and believe me, no system works if you're honest. If you're honest, then whatever system you set up will have faults because Hashem cannot be put into a box. And we are not smart enough to be able to understand his calculations. And even though it's very comforting for us when things seem to work out right, that doesn't mean that we understand him. Yeah.
Are we given rules on this as well? Like the examples I can think of are like the opposite, but it is usually rather than how to do something, but have reasons for something happening. Like why does pestilence come into the world? Why does fire break out? But like that we're given, oh, that's the first one, Shabbat, Pastor Shalom, it's to do we have
why don't we begin with the Torah? Torah says, honor your parents, you'll live a long life. And yet our sages say, people who honor their parents can die young. It's not to be interpreted literally. So if the Torah says, honor your parents, you'll live a long life, and our sages say, don't take that literally, it does not mean in this world, so then why would you take what our sages said about cause and effect in the world and take that literally? The Maharal, for example, says not that way.
What our sages say is meant to explain. What the Torah says is not necessarily meant that.
What you just said is a very good comment. Tosus points that out. You're right.
Tosfos says that we do expect our sages to be more clear about what they're saying, but if you look at the commentaries, you'll see that's not what it means at all. Look at the Maharal in Be'er Agula. The Maharal writes about that Gemara. Why is there a solar eclipse? Why is there a lunar eclipse? Well, if we can forecast solar and lunar eclipses, then how come the Talmud gives us reasons for them? They seem to be built into nature. Says the Maharal, the Talmud was not talking about why you will see a solar eclipse. The Talmud was talking about why did Hashem create within the world a concept of a solar eclipse? Did Hashem create a concept of a solar eclipse? So that, the Talmud says, because of things that Jewish people do wrong. So when we see a solar eclipse, we should be reminded Hashem created this potential in the world to arouse us that there are certain areas we have to work on in Judaism. That's a lunar eclipse. I'm sorry, a solar eclipse is a different message. That's the Maharal. There's more on the topic, but...
If we would have been perfect, or we wouldn't have sinned and Gan Eden or something, then God would never make...
Correct.
Go in front of the sun or something.
Correct. Correct. Okay, so those were the first two ideas. The third idea, he says, is that perhaps the term Vayikra is written in hidden form, he called, because there are two difficult periods in a Jew's life. There are difficult periods in a Jew's life where his desire seems to overwhelm him. And he has difficult hardships dealing with that. And he looks at life and he says, I don't have the strength to overcome. Sometimes the challenges seem overwhelming. And then a person looks to heaven and he starts being upset. Why did you create a world that has such hardships? And he feels like no one but him is having such a hard time with their inclinations. How come he is put in this situation where he doesn't feel he can overcome? But the truth is, like the tzaddikim say, that every Jew came down to the world to fix something. And in that area that a Jew has the hardest time with his Yetzer Hara, that's the area that this Jew has to fix. You see that the Yetzer Hara will let a person succeed in many mitzvot, but there's always one point, which is every person has a different point, which is his hardship. That's his tikkun. You want to know what you have to fix in the world? It's that one thing that's the hardest. Oy vey. Vayikra, he called to Moshe. The most difficult thing is when Hashem's hidden in his calling. And one of the most difficult things in life is that we keep searching what is our purpose here. And that seems to be hidden. And our sages alluded to this. Our sages said, what's a Baal Tshuva? If a person comes back, it's the same time of year. Spring, everything's budding. It's pleasant. He's in the same place. It's the same woman. And he has the same urge, he has the same desire, he has the same capacity, and this time he says, no, I'm not going to do it. I did this once, I was wrong for doing it, I'm not doing it again. That's a Baal Tshuva. Sometimes a person imagines that in this juncture of life, he's no longer going to be able to change. Sometimes a person thinks in this place, he's no longer going to change. Sometimes a person thinks in the conditions I'm in, There's no way I'm changing. I will not be able to grow given the conditions I have in life. That's when a person has to know. When is he called a Baal Tshuva? When he has those exact conditions. Those exact conditions that in his mind, that's why he fell. When he has those conditions and overcomes it, that's Tshuva specifically at that juncture in life. A person will say, I'll get older, I'll be calmer. No, the key is to be calmer now. A person says, I'll move out of town. Yeah, maybe you should move out of town if this woman is a problem. But about Tshuva overcomes all of it. No, we don't look for temptation. We recommend to move out of town or find another solution. But nonetheless, that is Tshuva. If Hashem put a person in a specific place, in specific conditions, so then that means those are the conditions that he should deal with in this life. Now again, he's not saying don't try to make your life better. Obviously, if you can, you make your life better. You can move to a religious community, you move. You could avoid temptation, you avoid it. But sometimes you can't. And that shouldn't be an excuse. We should stand up to the occasion. And that's what helps us live up to our responsibility. If we didn't have these conditions, we wouldn't be able to succeed in fulfilling our job in this world. And that's the job of a Jew, to fix exactly what he was sent down to fix. That's what his soul was sent down for. Then, if he's always doing other positive things, but he still has that point, which he says, let me leave it, comes Vayikra, and hidden, and Hashem says, yeah, that point, that's what you have to uncover. Adam ki akriv mikim, bring yourself to me, Hashem says. I want you. And we're out of time. If you want, we'll pick up tomorrow morning.